Well, today we come to the last of our minor prophets that we're going to be looking at in this series. Over the last 4 weeks, previous 4 weeks, we've looked at several different ones, and today we're ending with Zechariah. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't read it yet, to go and read this book in its entirety. It'll take you probably 30, 40 minutes to read it, but it is certainly one that is filled with such powerful images of hope. Now, Zechariah was written during what we call the post-exilic period in Israel. So this was after they had gone into exile. They had been there for about 70 years, and then they start returning home. So Zechariah was written during that time. I want you to try to imagine yourself growing up in that time period, hearing stories about the good old days. Stories about a time when your people used to be free, when the temple used to stand glorious at the center of your city, where there was a king who was sitting on the throne, where everything felt whole, at peace, and like it should be. But you've never seen any of that. You haven't experienced it for yourself. All you have known is life under someone else's rule and authority, under their heavy burdens of taxation, under foreign kings and foreign soldiers ruling over your life. And in the back of everybody's mind, there's this question: is this all that there's ever going to be? Well, that was what life was like for those early Jews who were returning home. Your grandparents had told you about the days, the day when Jerusalem fell 70 years earlier, how they burned the temple, how your king was taken, and how everything that you trusted in for security in your life was stripped away from you. It all changed overnight. That's the story that your grandparents remind you of. And yes, there are some people who came back years later, but it was never the same. It wasn't like the good old days. You have no king. Your nation's not free. You're not independent. This was not the restoration that they had hoped for. But they're waiting. The people are waiting. Waiting for God to do what He promised these prophets that He would do. They're waiting for their king to return to the throne. They're waiting for the time when everything will be made right again. And it's into that long, weary season of waiting that the prophet Zechariah speaks. In chapter 9, he begins this way. He says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion, for your king is coming." Zechariah offers a vision of this coming king, but this king is different. It's not like the kings who had exploited power, not like the other rulers who had brought war. But this king is called righteous and victorious. And we're told that this king comes in humility. This king doesn't come to crush. He doesn't come to dominate. But he comes to save. He comes to bring peace. Zechariah describes him. He says he will speak peace over the nations, and his rule will stretch from sea to sea. Y'all, that's bigger than just Israel. I mean, the rule of this king expands way beyond the borders of this small nation. But this is a vision that includes creation restored. All of the world. Under the kingship and the peace of this king. And so the question, it lingered for generations, who is this king? And when will he come? 400 years pass between Zechariah's prophecy and the day when a man comes riding into Jerusalem, sitting on a donkey. Up until that point, no prophet, no king like the one promised here. There was just this longing. And so this man comes riding into Jerusalem. He's not riding on a war horse, but on a donkey. And suddenly, the people remember. They remember this prophecy of Zechariah, these centuries earlier, and the crowds they gather, and they wave the palm branches, and their voices are lifted up, and they cry out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And in Matthew's gospel, writing about this, he tells us plainly that this is no coincidence, that Jesus is the king that Zechariah prophesied about. But here's the tension. He didn't come the way they expected. They wanted political overthrow, didn't they? But he came to overthrow a deeper, more sinister evil that had been around since the garden. The people, they wanted immediate freedom. But Jesus came to bring eternal restoration. And how does this king accomplish that? It wasn't through force, raising up an army. But it was through covenant. Through a covenant. Zechariah tells us in verse 11, "Because of the blood of my covenant with you." You see, this is what God has acted in response to. His covenant to His people. His promises. His loyalty and faithfulness and eternal love for you and me. You see, everything God does is rooted in promise. God doesn't just act on impulse, but He acts on His covenant. Just like He had from the very beginning with Noah and Abraham and Moses and David. And now through Jesus. And this promise, this covenant, it comes at a cost. See, Jesus didn't just come proclaiming freedom, announcing it, "You're free." But He sheds His blood for it. And through His blood, prisoners are set free. Sins are atoned for, they are forgiven. And cleansed, and our lives get restored. Y'all, this is why we can trust in Him. Because what God promises, God fulfills. So if the King has come, then the covenant has been secured. And if that's the truth, then why does life feel like the pits sometimes? Well, Zechariah says in verse 12, "Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of war," or of hope, sorry, "prisoners of hope." That's a strange sounding phrase, isn't it? A prisoner of hope? Zechariah, he says this to a people who are surrounded. They're living oppressed. They're struggling. They're waiting. But something has changed. They now have hope. And hope is not based on our circumstances, but it's based on who the King is. About 3 years ago, I came at a turning point in my life. I was considering walking away from the church and ministry. I had come to the conclusion that the church wasn't for me. It was so dysfunctional. It was not what I signed up for. I was discouraged. And I was just tired of it all. That's where I was about this time 3 years ago. And the more that I tried to picture my life outside of what I was doing, the more I realized something. I started interviewing for some other things, other types of ministry. I looked at camping ministry. I looked at the mission field. I looked at a lot of things, just didn't want to do this anymore. But the more I thought about everything, the more I prayed, the more time that I spent before God with my life at that point, I couldn't shake something. I couldn't shake a calling. I couldn't walk away from the vision that God gave to me as a junior in college when I was living in Tulsa, Oklahoma. God gave me a very specific call to the church. And I couldn't let go of that. And trust me, I tried. I wanted to. But I couldn't let go of the belief that God is still building something through His beautiful church. And that's when I understood what Zechariah is saying here in this passage about being a prisoner of hope. I couldn't shake it. I have been gripped by something that is more powerful than my disappointment with the church. And for that reason, I can't let it go. Some of you are in the pit right now. You may feel stuck, tired, and worn out. You may even be disappointed with God. Don't think that wasn't where the Israelites were when Zechariah came on the scene and starts talking this way. I want you to hear this. If you belong to Jesus, then you are not just a prisoner to your situation, but you are a prisoner of hope. That means that your story, it's not over yet. That means that your struggle, it's not final. That warring and wrestling that you feel inside of your soul, that tension, it's not where God wants you to be. Your future, my future, the future of all this stuff that we gather and do on Sundays and Wednesdays and all the days in between, the future of this doesn't depend on you or me. There is a King who sits on the throne. He is Lord of it all. And so hope means that you can see beyond what is right now to what God is doing and what is holding you prisoner right now. I pray that God would give you a vision of what He desires to do in your situation. Because you see, hope always points us forward. It lifts our eyes beyond where we are right now today to what God is ultimately going to do. You see, Zechariah doesn't just give them hope for survival, just to get through another day, but he gives them a vision of flourishing. Of what their future can look like. He says the Lord will rescue His people like a shepherd rescues his sheep. God doesn't abandon His people. He fights for them. He gathers them. And Zechariah says they will sparkle like jewels in a crown. Y'all, that's how God sees His people. Not broken, not discarded, but restored and radiant. They are treasured. You and I are God's treasured possession. And He's not done with us yet. You see, there is coming a day of abundance. Zechariah ends by talking about how there's grain overflowing, there's wine, and there's joy and gladness among God's people again. Y'all, this is life flourishing again. This is not some partial restoration, not just getting through another day, but this is abundance. This is complete renewal, a reversal of situations. And this is where the story leads us. This journey that we're on right now in this season, it's leading us somewhere because there is a king who rode into a city of Jerusalem, and it is that same king who went to a cross. And the full restoration Zechariah saw doesn't come into full view until Easter morning. And we see it. We see what God can do. The resurrection is God's declaration that restoration is not a dream. It's not pie in the sky, but it is a promise that God will fulfill. The question is, do you believe it? Has it gripped you yet? Is it holding you prisoner that you say, regardless of circumstance, regardless of your life and how it may feel trapped right now, we know that God's not finished yet. Therefore, I won't let go of Him. I won't give up on Him. So hear this today. You are not prisoners of your past. You are not prisoners of your pain. You're not even a prisoner to your current circumstances. If you belong to Jesus, you are a prisoner of hope. And one day, hope will give way to sight. Waiting will give way to a breakthrough of joy. And everything that God has promised, it's going to be made new. This is God's hope for us, His vision for us. And today we need to be seized by it, just like the prophet Zechariah was. And so I believe there are some people here today that you've been living like a prisoner to your past. A prisoner to your fear. Maybe disappointment has gripped you and you can't let it go. Today, God is speaking something over you. You are a prisoner of hope. That's who you are. Not because everything is fixed, but because your King has come. And He's coming again. If you need to reclaim that hope today, I want to give an invitation to you. Some of you need to come and kneel at this altar today. You can do that during our last song in just a few moments. Sometimes you got to take a step to shake what is holding you back. So you can do that by walking down and kneeling at this altar today and asking God to give you a vision of something bigger than what you're experiencing right now. You can ask Him to show you what He wants to do in your life, how He wants to set you free. Maybe we need to repent of some things today. We need to shake it loose. Maybe it means that you want to just sit right where you are and you just want to open your hands in your lap. Just open them up to God. We're just going to be obedient to whatever God wants to do here this morning. So let's take just a moment and ask the Lord, what do you want to do today, Jesus? So would you just bow, turn to Him in prayer right now. Lord, we say to You that we are going to trust You. We're going to trust You this morning, Lord. Some of us are going to take a step of faith today. Come, Holy Spirit. Move the hearts of Your people. So as we sing our closing hymn, let us continue to respond to Jesus. Well, thank you so much for joining us in worship this morning, and thank you for being obedient to the leading of God's Holy Spirit this morning. And if you need prayer, know that I am here. I'm here. Jacob is here. And we're always willing and ready to pray with you and to minister to you. So just know that and come if God leads you to seek that out. And I want to leave you with this benediction. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. To him be glory. Where? I didn't, I'd be gone. I believe that. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, including yours and mine, forever and ever, Paul says. Amen. So be it. Go in peace.